In the introit of today's Mass, we read excerpts from the Psalm 83. And the psalm begins, "How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord! The sparrow hath found herself a house, and the turtle dove a nest for herself, where she may lay her young ones." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. With thus these sweet words, we are invited to come to church, to enter into the temple of the Lord, the tabernacle. In the same psalm quoted, Psalm 83, we also read, "Behold, O God, our protector, and look upon the face of thy Christ." We are beckoned to look upon, having entered into the temple of the Lord, to look upon the face of Christ. And that is when we look upon the tabernacle, where Jesus Christ is truly and substantially present, although he is veiled, his face is veiled. "For better is one day," the same psalm tells us, "in the courts of the Lord, above thousands spent elsewhere. Blessed is the man that gives of his time freely, during the week even, to visit and pray in this temple. When you do so, in a wonderful manner, you do practice the virtue our Lord inculcates in today's gospel: trust in divine providence." In the oration of today's Mass, we pray, "Keep thy church, O Lord, by thy perpetual mercy." In the Latin, perpetual mercy is rendered by propitiatio perpetua. And that's an interesting choice of words, because propitiatio, that word in Latin, is used by St. John the Evangelist when he speaks of our Lord. And so we are taught, by sort of a subtle reference in the very oration, again to the Blessed Sacrament, Christ in our midst. St. John tells us, and this is a quote from his epistle, "He," Christ, "is the propitiation for our sins," propitiatio. In the gradual, which follows the oration read before the Gospel, Psalm 117 is quoted. "It is good to confide in the Lord rather than to have confidence in man. It is good to trust in the Lord rather than to trust in princes." Now, some say it is good rather to trust in man. And this does come quite easy. Thus, we might find that we can easily spend much of our time listening to commentators or even politicians themselves, this or that politician, and we may hang on their words, even though we have been lied to so many times, and we hope that this time will be different. Maybe it will be. I don't know. But the point is, we hear, we pay attention, we give our time to listen to men. And even when man tries his best, he often falls short, even when he does his best. It is good to trust not so much in man, but in God. The psalm is telling us we ought to use similar attention, energy, time even, to listen to the word of God, Christ. Christ speaks in the gospel. He also speaks in the lives of the saints. He speaks in many of the commentators, saints and fathers of the church, who have told us or tried to explain the different passages of the gospel. In the gospel itself, the word of God today, Christ, what does he tell us as we gather before him in his temple? He says, "Lay not up to yourselves treasures on earth, but rather in heaven." Right off the bat, he's telling us our focus should be spiritual, to obtain spiritual goods. That is our goal, our focus, not in working in the world, not in our job. All these things are necessary, sure, but that is not where our eyes ought to be directed. Focus on obtaining spiritual goods, treasures that will be for you in heaven. No man, he says, can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, that is, and St. Augustine tells us that this one refers to the master of the world, Satan, ultimately. Either he will hate the one, Satan, and love the other, namely God, or he will sustain the one and despise the other. Sustain the one, meaning he will not love Satan, not love the slavery of the world, for no man can love this, truly, but he will endure it for some other means, for some temporal good, and at the same time despise God. Notice that such men have no love. They have no life. Our Lord continues, "Behold the birds of the air." We now are, by God, the God-man, asked to look at nature for a lesson. We can notice that the birds, while they do not gather into barns, our Lord tells us, they are not, however, idle. This is true. This is important. We are not commanded or even advised by our Lord to not work, to be idle. Idleness is never good. But notice how the birds labor, how they toil. They do not aim at filling a barn so they have sufficient storage for themselves that they can trust in. Rather, they every day they labor, they search for their sustenance, and they are content with the little or the plenty that they may find on any given day. And we can learn so two things from the birds. First of all, that we must be diligent daily, diligent in our work and our duties, but also diligent in prayer. It is not enough, we shouldn't consider it enough or hope to ever do enough prayer on one day that we can abstain on the following day. That is not how the birds act. And then the second lesson from the birds is that of a sort of spirit of poverty. Poverty, the spirit of poverty, makes us desire not riches, but what is suitable, what is necessary for us, according to God's wisdom. Poverty makes us content with what due diligence can obtain for us. It also prevents us from working too hard. That is, to work too hard to the detriment of other duties, and especially of spiritual duties. For example, with regard to parenting, it's not uncommon, I've found, I don't know about among Catholics, but at least people in the world, that not only the father is never at home because he's working two or three jobs, but even the mother is working, and so there's no family life. But that is actually the first duty, the whole point of work is to provide for the family. So the whole order is upset by such conduct. But they have in mind this idea that more money means more security for the family. Ignorance, I believe, is the cause of this. Workaholics are actually not to be idolized. In fact, true diligence is to be faithful to all your duties. Laziness is to not do what you should be doing. Someone who's maybe working very hard all the time is usually neglecting something he should be doing. Another example of this, that is working too hard, can be with regard to the detriment of our other duties, would be with regard to grace, with regard to our souls more directly. So how many times do we Or do we ever think twice about maybe driving by a church, being nearby, attending an extra mass that is offered, or making a visit? That's something you can do any day of the week. How often does that even come across your mind? It's experience has shown in the lives of our forefathers, saints and sinners, that such a devotion to the temple of God, to the church, to the Blessed Sacrament, ultimately, by attendance at Mass or simply just visiting, even very briefly, that these are means whereby great blessings can be obtained, temporally and spiritually. And these things are not something we should view them as extraordinary to be admired, but not imitated. That is not the case. There's related a story in history of two farmers. On this occasion, the one farmer, he had a large family, and he was able always, depending entirely on his own farm, to provide for them decent sustenance. And this without excessive toil or worry. Whereas his next door neighbor, also he had a farm, he had a small family with much less mouths to feed, and yet he had to work far more. He was always toiling with all his strength, and he was always exhausted, and yet he was hardly scraping by. And he started to wonder what the difference was between his farm and his friend's farm. Why was he being so successful and seen with ease that he was successful? And he asked him his secret. This man told him, well, come meet me in the morning and I will show you. And he came in the next morning and he said, well, let's go hear Mass first. That was sort of a favor he asked them. Come with me to Mass, I usually hear Mass. And then they went to Mass, and after the Mass, he left. He said, well, good day, I'm going to go now tend to my farm. So this man who was seeking the advice now was a little upset, and then the next day he asked again, and again he was told, come with me to Mass. And so he said, well, I've done the favor you asked me, now tell me the secret. He said, well, that is my secret. I start my day with the Holy Mass, and then I work with the time I have allotted that is left to me. And God has blessed me for doing this. And the man, in fact, he took the advice, he followed the example of his friend, and he experienced what was told to him. He no longer had to work so hard for his sustenance. And for thy raiment, our Lord continues, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field. Again, the lilies are not an example of not working, because they are not, in fact, idle. They do work to grow, to nourish themselves, but it's all interior. It's not visible to our eyes. They are alive. They are working. And so we can learn from the lilies that the apparent idleness, the apparent waste of time, you might say, of prayer and coming to church, making just a visit, is not the idleness that it seems to be. It's not a waste. We want to adorn our bodies, perhaps. Well, the best adornment, the greatest beauty any man can have, or woman, is that they have a virtuous soul that gives splendor to even the body. Our Lord concludes the Gospel, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added to you. His final exhortation, do not let temporal affairs prevent you from the spiritual goods. If you seek the spiritual goods, the temporal goods are added as a mounting of little cost, because in fact at the end of the day they are of no worth whatsoever, because they do pass away at the end of our lives. All temporal goods do. In the offertory we read, the angel of the Lord shall encamp round about them that fear him, and they shall deliver them. This is another reward of those who would honor God, visit his temple, that an angel, it seems, another angel is deputed to keep you, or your guardian angel is given more license to keep you more surely. And there's another story that relates to this, whereas two men who planned to go hunting, and it was a holy day, and so they went out to hunt, but the one man, he had taken care of that, he heard Mass first. And hunting, usually when you hear about hunting in these stories of the saints, it's usually the hunting that was done sort of in the Middle Ages and beyond, and it was a much more to do. You had dogs and even hawks and horses involved. It was a big thing. In any case, the one man, he missed Mass altogether because he was worried about hunting. So they were out together, and then a great storm arose, and lightning struck and killed this man who had skipped Mass. Whereas the other man, he obviously was seized with great fear at this. He even heard a voice saying, "Strike him too." But then, to his great consolation, he heard an answer made by his angel, "I cannot strike him. He has heard Mass." Taste and see that the Lord is sweet, and blessed are they that hope in him. A trial will convince you of all these things. And I would not have you be prevented from partaking of these blessings, because perhaps it might be that you can't come. You can't even visit the church any day of the week because of your circumstances or distance. Fine. But you can, at least by desire, do all these things. You can attend Mass, offer the merits of the Mass taking place. You can remember your Lord in the tabernacle, make a visit. You can even desire to receive him in Holy Communion, and that's called spiritual communion. All those things you can even do at home when you're prevented, and you will share in these very blessings. It would be helpful to have a sort of determined, very specific time of your day that you do these acts. Just like going to church and hearing Mass, it's a very specific time and place for it, that activity, so you can make it something for yourselves at home. Perhaps you know of a scheduled Mass taking place here or in another church, and you can't be there, but at that moment the Mass is starting, you can say that at least a few prayers, uniting yourself to that Mass, desiring to receive Holy Communion. And now you are partaking of these great benefits which belong to the children of God. How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.